Chapter 3. So, Stiles says, Justin's exact response to being asked about Deucalion was, and I quote, Oh, that douche canoe. Jake picks up his stylus and starts tapping at his tablet to record that Deucalion is a douche canoe to the official pack record. Derek directs Cora to the end of one of the sofas and sits next to her. Isaac sits down on the floor, practically on Cora's feet, so his profile is facing Derek, who gives him a curious look but says nothing. Allison grabs a cookie and sits down in one of the chairs as Erica hands out cups of tea. So the official response from the Alpha Pack is to be annoyed and unimpressed? Allison says, Good to know. Anything else useful? Well, he said he and the others are in Italy right now. The bastards, Stiles says. And he didn't seem so concerned about Deucalion making a move on his reputation that he was inclined to rush back and do something about it. Cora looks between Derek and Stiles, practically vibrating with tension. For a few moments, she seems to debate between keeping silent but being confused, or speaking out but betraying her confusion. Then she bites out, Who's Justin? Derek decides to field this, as many of the pack had been added after the trial, although at this point, they had met Justin and the other alphas. Several of the others would deliver their information with their own unique charm, and that probably wouldn't help matters. Justin is the leader of the Alpha Pack. They run a trial for the new alphas with a pack, basically to make sure the alpha is worthy of the power and position. You might remember the previous leader, Kelly Steele. Sounds vaguely familiar, Cora says, but her eyes are narrowing at Stiles, who's passing around the cookies. Several pack members have full mouths already. You passed this trial? With flying colors, Stiles says, which is a complete lie. Problem? Cora folds her arms across her chest and says, Where to start? Several of the other pack members shift uneasily at the growing tension in the room. Erica opens her mouth to say something vulgar, and Boyd reaches out to grab her hand. Stiles just takes a deep breath, and the others follow his lead, and don't say anything to Cora. Justin says as far as he knows, Deucalion's been traveling around to recruit alphas into his pack for the last several years. He doesn't know who all is in it. They've gone after him a few times, but never actually caught up with him. He said Deucalion is a ruthless, merciless killer, but, and I quote, nothing you guys can't handle. So he could be coming here to recruit, or he could be coming here for our heads, Derek says. My guess is to recruit, Stiles says. I mean, let's face it, I am pretty awesome. And so modest, Lydia remarks, nibbling delicately at a cookie. Cora looks around the room. You guys can't be serious, she says. Nothing you can't handle? Really? Stiles pushes a hand through his hair and tries viciously to rein in his temper. Cora, he says, have a cookie. Derek puts a few of them on a napkin and shoves it at her, with the implication that she can take it or wear it. She takes it, but she doesn't look like she's going to be eating any of them anytime soon. Stiles just watches her in silence for a long minute. Finally, he says, Okay, so, until anyone actually shows up, we're on defense. The buddy rule is in effect. Jake, you too. Everyone's going to be spending their nights at the den. But I don't think we need to put watches on yet. I need to call my father. Allison, I want to talk to you about a few things, too. It's best not to bring up the Argents while in Cora's presence, he decides. He doesn't know how much she knows about the fire or how she'll react. He checks his watch. It's a little after 6. Who's had dinner? He asks, and only Danny and Boyd raise their hands. Okay, I don't have anything ready to cook, so we'll order. Jake, you'll handle that? He adds, and he nods. Cora watches him give this string of orders in silence. She seems to have settled into observer status for the time being, and as long as Stiles doesn't try to order her around, she's content to keep an eye on things. Derek just watches his pack move around him, and that gives him a sense of stability and security that's been slipping in and out of his grip since his sister had showed up earlier. "Cora," he says calmly, "just eat the cookie. We'll be okay." She just glowers at him. Scott and Isaac exchange a glance. Then Isaac says, "Where is she gonna stay?" "Well, here, I presumed," Stiles says. Scott frowns and says uncertainly, "I'm not sure that's a good idea." Derek's eyebrows climb. "And why not?" Isaac glances at Stiles, turning his head a little to show his throat. "She sort of suggested killing you?" "Wait, what?" Derek looks from Isaac to Cora and back again, that hale scowl making an appearance. Stiles is just standing there with a look of mild surprise on his face. More of a "that was quick" expression than an "I can't believe she would say that" expression. Derek opens his mouth to say something else, but then closes it again, giving Isaac a chance to elaborate. Isaac isn't stupid, but he also doesn't deserve to have Derek jump down his throat if he just misunderstood something. Isaac is flinching a little, so it's Scott that speaks up, with the calm confidence he displays whenever he's needed as a medic. "Derek, she said you could be Alpha. What she didn't say was, if you killed Stiles, but that's what she meant, and we all know it." Derek's face goes completely blank, and he turns to Cora. "Is that what you meant?" Cora glares back at him. "That's how it works, isn't it?" "Oh, jeez," Stiles says under his breath. "No," Derek grinds out. "No, Cora, it isn't." He jolts to his feet. "What makes you think I'm even capable of doing that? Didn't you hear me say that I'm his Lupa?" He starts pacing around, voice on the edge between rage and actual panic. Cora holds her ground. "That's not how it works in families, but this isn't a family. He came in here and stole what should be yours, so you have every right." Derek stops moving and flat out snarls at her. Cora goes white and takes an involuntary step back. The entire room is silent, buzzing with tension. Stiles breaks it. In a calm, measured voice, he says, "Isaac, Erica, Boyd, you will take turns on Cora watch. Work out the shifts amongst yourselves. Let me know if you have any problems, okay?" Erica slowly turns angry gold eyes from Cora to Stiles. "You sure?" Stiles nods. "Yes, she's Derek's sister and a guest in this den, and she will be treated with respect until such a time as Derek decides he wants her out of here." Despite his best efforts at control, Stiles' eyes are starting to glow crimson, and the rage in his voice is plainly audible to anybody who knows him. For a long minute, Derek just stands there, fists slowly clenching and unclenching. "Fuck this. I need to go paint something angry. Call me when there's food," he adds, before stomping off. Cora just glares after him. Stiles sighs and pushes both hands through his hair, and everyone sits in uncomfortable silence for a long minute. Then Mac raises her hand. "I have a question," she says. And when Stiles looks at her, she says, So I know you guys generally exhibit an ask no questions, take no prisoners sort of attitude when it comes to people threatening the Alpha, which I'm on board with, so why aren't we tying her up and putting her in the pit or something?" Cora snarls at Mac. Boyd grabs Erica around the waist before the blonde can leap across the room and introduce her face to the floor. Stiles looks straight at Cora as he answers, "Because she's Derek's sister, and I won't do anything or allow anything that would hurt Derek. End of story."
"So what do we do?"
Isaac asks, rubbing at his nose. He looks at Cora as if to question whether or not she can stop provoking Erica into a blind rage.
"Like I said, we watch her."
Stiles shakes his head a little. I don't trust you, he says. But Derek thought his family was gone, and now he has you, and I won't take that away from him. But if you hurt him, I will destroy you. I'd like to see you try, Cora says with a dismissive snort. Everything about Styles goes rigid and blank for a moment. Then he shakes his head and says, Boy, you really have been out of the loop. Without another word, he walks back into the kitchen. Allison gives Cora a sharp look before following him. Once in the kitchen, Styles paces back and forth several times, running his hands through his hair, while Allison stands there in silence, watching and waiting. Finally, he huffs out a sigh and says, We should call your father. Let him know that enemies might be arriving in town. See if he knows anything about this guy. But I don't want Cora to know about it. She hates me enough without Hunter stuff coming into play. Allison nods. I can keep the phone calls quiet. I can even ask my dad if I have grounds to deal with this guy as a hunter before he even gets to our territory. She glances back into the living room and says, Not that she would like that much either, even if it was separate from you. But we won't be able to hide it if it comes to a fight. I fight like a hunter, and that's going to show. You too, in the weapons we choose, if nothing else. She'll know. Yeah, Styles rubs a hand over the back of his head. But if we can at least keep the Argent name out of it, that might keep things from being blown out of proportion. I don't know how much she knows. Jesus, I hate that. I don't know where she's been or what she's been up to, and she's obviously not going to tell us. I hate not knowing shit. Do you think she's trying to pull one over on us? Or just be bitchy? Allison asks. Your gut instinct. Styles bites his lip. My gut instinct is that she was genuinely relieved and happy to see Derek. He's her priority. She'll do whatever it takes to protect him. But she doesn't respect me as his alpha, so to her, protecting Derek might mean bumping me off. I don't think she's in league with the baddies, though. Allison's quiet for a moment. Do you think she would actually listen if we tried to explain to her that killing you would kill him? I thought all werewolves were supposed to understand the whole Lupa thing, and it's us humans that are slow. Maybe, but... Styles frowns. There's two possibilities there. One is that she doesn't believe Derek's actually my Lupa, and that either he's pretending or we're mistaken or something like that. But I think it's more basic than that. She seems to have been an Omega for so long. I think she just doesn't understand. That it'd be like trying to explain the color green to someone who's been blind since birth. Allison lets her head fall back into the wall with a soft thump. Sometimes I'm really ashamed of my genetics, she says, thinking about the damage that Kate and Gerard had done to Derek's family. That somehow never ends. If I ever go, she waves a hand vaguely, you guys won't let me, right? I'll have you in a straitjacket getting all the therapy before you know what hit you. Styles promises her. Good. Okay. Allison sounds a little shaky, but pulls herself together. So, she's forgotten what it's like to be in a pack, and there's no way to remind her while she's so determined to separate Derek from you. Awesome. Styles gives a sigh. Look, I'm gonna go call my dad. Maybe he'll have an idea. But if he doesn't, I'll talk to Gwen. Cora seems pretty obviously fucked up. So maybe Gwen can help me figure out how to handle her. In the meantime, you call your dad, and then I want you and Danny to run a standard check around the perimeter. Just make sure everything's in order. He can check the electronics while you check the manual stuff. Sure, I'll make my calls from outside. She gives him that Disney princess smile. And I'll check the padding in the pit, just in case. Styles laughs. You do that, he says, and heads upstairs. He expects that this will be the last 15 minutes of privacy that he's going to get for a while, and he sighs as he looks out the window, watching Allison and Danny cross the yard to the fence. Then he dials his father. Hey, so I have the strangest question, he says. Any chance you still have the files for the Hale House fire? Sadly, I keep a copy in our safe at home, his father replies. He's suspicious, but not asking questions yet. Stiles will talk when he wants to. Ugh, I'm on lockdown right now, Stiles says, and sighs. Any chance you can go take a look at it for me? Oh, for the love of God, son. There's some movement and shuffling as the man moves towards the safe. What sort of trouble have you found now? He adds, his tone that of exasperated affection. More like, what trouble is looking for me? Stiles says. I've been very good, you know, not doing any heavy lifting, taking my medicine, taking my naps. And then an hour ago, this girl shows up on the doorstep, and it turns out she's Derek's younger sister, Cora. Good, good. Stilinski praises him through everything, and then they get to Cora. Wait, what? There's more noise of shuffling paper, and then the thump of a file hitting the table. That's what I said, but Derek recognized her by scent, not even by sight. And if there's a way to fake that, I don't know about it. She doesn't seem eager to talk about where she's been, and nobody has even had the balls to bring up how she might have survived the fire, but I don't trust her, and I want to find out what I can. Okay, give me a minute. There's the flipping of paper, and then quiet for a few minutes. It could really be her. There was no way to be sure of whose body was whose. Do you want to know anything more than that? I guess, given that the fire inspector was on their payroll, we can't be sure of anything, Stiles says. Unless there's anything you can see about how a teenage girl might have escaped, or anyone else for that matter. She wouldn't have been more than 11 at the time, Stilinski said quietly. And I think we can trust this part of the report, to be honest. Kate wanted them all dead, so there would be no reason to lie about survivors. Yeah. Stiles pushes a hand through his hair and ruffles it vigorously. Okay, I gotta go. Things to do. I'll keep you posted, but be careful, okay? Why am I being careful, Stiles? His father asks suspiciously. What's going on? I don't know what's going on for sure yet. She's here. She came to warn Derek about some guy that's coming after, she thought, him, but actually the alpha of the Beacon Hills pack, so me. That's why we're on lockdown over here. Just keep your eye out for any weird shit and watch your back, because, well, I have to tell you that or I'll worry. All right. You take care of yourself. I have to tell you that because I'm your father, and I worry, whether I tell you or not. Yep. Love you, bye, Stiles says, and waits for his father's I love you too, before hanging up and pulling up Gwen in his cell phone's memory. He hates to bother her in the evening, but he thinks he's going to need her expertise to deal with Derek, let alone Cora, if he wants to keep any disasters from happening before morning. He hears the noise of someone shifting out in the hallway, the illusion of privacy in a house with werewolves. He knew that they were going to assign him a constant watch, just as he had assigned one to Cora. But as long as whoever it was, Boyd, he thinks, stays out in the hallway, he can pretend he's in private. This is Gwenwell Rooney, the professional voice says. Hey, Gwen, it's Stiles. Not an emergency. Let me know if you're in the middle of dinner or something, Stiles says. Nope, it's TV night, but I have TiVo. What do you need? Advice, Stiles says, on how to deal with the single most standoffish person I have ever met, who may or may not want me dead, but must be welcomed into my den. Intrigued yet? Gwen laughs. Absolutely. Okay, then. Get ready for the kicker. Derek has a younger sister named Cora, and it turns out she survived the fire and has been on the run ever since. And she turned up on our doorstep about an hour ago with a warning that some badass is coming here to, I don't know, either recruit me or eat me. I'm not sure which. Stiles gives Gwen a quick summary of everything that's happened since Cora's arrival. So now I'm trying to figure out how to deal with her and how to keep Derek sane while I'm at it. Well, the good news is that Derek is being smart enough to disengage when pushed too far, and he isn't just letting her run him over, Gwen says. Yeah, he's actually handling it better than I would have predicted, if anyone had asked me, which of course nobody did, because what the actual fuck? You really do seem to have the most interesting luck, Gwen sighs. Does she seem to genuinely care for Derek? As far as I can tell, yeah, Stiles says. I mean, it seems complicated. She genuinely loves the memory of her brother, even if so far she seems unimpressed with the reality of him. Okay, so here's your advice based on what we know. Remember that her life has most likely been pretty awful, even if she won't share the details with you. And I'm not saying that yours has been roses, because obviously it hasn't. So I know that her problems don't give her all the excuses to behave badly when other people are putting in effort. But you've had help, and it's likely that she hasn't. That's the first thing I want you to remember. Stiles takes a slow breath in and out, tries to imagine all of what had happened without his father's help in the beginning, without the pack, without Gwen. Okay, he says. Mental note made. The second thing to remember is that all of her bitching and angry hissing and spitting is being done because she loves her brother. Sure, she's showing it badly, and in many cases getting the opposite result of protecting him by hurting him herself. But she's making this noise because she's afraid for him. Heh, Derek used to be like that, Stiles says, and even musters a fond smile at the memory. He was always yelling at me whenever I got into trouble. I swear to God, a stubbed toe would send him into rages. It did get a lot easier once I realized that the reason he got so pissed off was because he was scared and didn't know how to show it. So apparently it's a genetic trait. Derek can start calling her Mini-Me, Stiles suggests. Gwen snorts. I highly suspect that she wouldn't appreciate that, she says. And Stiles laughs and agrees. Try to respect her as much as you can, by which I mean try not to fight with her or upset her. But you don't have to give way, either. It's still your pack, and Derek will need to know that he has you and that stability to lean on. Yeah, Stiles says. I just hope she doesn't recommend killing me again. It's hard not to laugh in her face, to be honest. Maybe. But sometimes you rely on people underestimating you. Don't forget that when dealing with her. Right. Stiles lets out another breath. Okay, I'd better go make sure nothing's exploded in my absence. Thanks for the advice. You're welcome. I'll see you next Thursday. Stiles thinks that with his life, he's likely to be talking to her before then, but says goodnight and then heads back downstairs. The food has arrived. Jake has ordered from the Greek deli because Lydia is being a food snob and they deliver. They're used to handing it to whoever is waiting outside the gate. Cora is still sitting on the sofa where Derek left her, with her arms folded over her stomach. Stiles just studies her for a moment, noting the defensive posture, the way the two cookies Derek gave her are still sitting on their napkin next to her. Then he eases past her and into the studio. Derek is indeed painting something big and angry and filled with fire. He's thrown down sheets to haphazardly cover the floor, and then laid down 9 of his medium-sized canvases in a rough square. Now he's on his hands and knees, in amongst them, and sometimes on top of them, painting with one hand while the other supports his weight. His clothing has become a casualty of the endeavor, and there are tubes of paint and mixing trays tossed in a loose circle around him. He doesn't look up when Stiles comes in. Has she said anything else awful? I wouldn't know, Stiles says. I went to go talk security with Allison, and then give my father an update. But she still seemed to be breathing when I went through, and Erica hasn't smashed her face through the coffee table, so I'm going to assume she's kept herself reasonably polite. He gives that a moment to sink in. Dinner's here, if you're hungry.
Sort of,
If nothing else, I should probably be there in case she says something nasty to Mac about being a vegetarian. Someone might brain her, and Lydia likes the furniture. Derek peels himself off the floor and finds a rag. Styles waits until he's gotten most of the paint off himself, before wrapping his arms around Derek's waist and hugging him tight. We are going to handle this, okay? It won't be easy, but we'll figure it out like we always do. Derek hugs back just as tightly, pressing his nose into Styles' neck. I want her to stay. He mumbles into Styles' skin. But I don't. I can't let her destroy the pack to do it, or take you away. But she's my sister. I know, Styles says. I think she's just been an Omega for a really long time. She doesn't understand. We can try to be patient with her, okay? After all, I managed to ignore all the circling and snarling you did back at the beginning. Derek pulls away abruptly. Jesus, was I this bad? Styles has to bite down on his lip to keep from laughing. He holds up one hand to start counting off incidents. I'm gonna rip your throat out with my teeth. Or how about, you want to do homework, or do you want to not die? You want me to teach you? Get rid of Allison. Your stupid little teenage crush means nothing. Find some better coping mechanisms. I thought I told you to stay away from the Argents. I could keep going. Do you need me to keep going? Derek looks at him sourly. I'll take that as a no, Styles says. But in a way that's good, right? I mean, you eventually fell victim to my considerable charms. Give Cora some time, and she'll learn to tolerate me, too. Even I ate the damned cookie, Derek grumbles. Styles gives a snort of laughter despite the situation. Yeah, okay. So you weren't quite as bad. But you had Laura. He's quiet for a moment, sobering up. Cora hasn't had anybody. I think, hopefully, she just needs time. Okay. Derek nods and lets out a breath. Time. We can do that. But no more talking about you being killed. I can't listen to that. Not thrilled with the concept either, to be honest, Styles says, his hand hovering over the scar in his abdomen that Matt's bullet had left, without thinking about it. I'll tell the others that from now on, the official policy with Cora is do not engage, unless she starts talking about killing me. Do you want to handle that if it comes up again, or should I? Derek reaches out and puts his hand over Styles. I don't know. She has no respect for you, but she isn't listening to me either. Part of that is a pretty basic lack of knowledge, Styles says thoughtfully. I wonder if we can casually have campfire stories about my most badass moments without it seeming contrived. With this group? Yes. Our entire lives have turned into a giant in-joke. Styles nods thoughtfully. I'll have a word with Mac. She wasn't here for a lot of it. And even for the stuff she was here for, well, she's good at asking questions without it seeming like a setup. Danny, too. How would you like to take Cora outside to see the defenses? That should calm her down some. So I can have a private word with the pack before we eat?